Right, excuse me while I organise myself. Okay. Right, if you've got a Bible with you, turn with me please back to Philippians. We're getting to the end of Philippians now. There's only this one and then two more left. And that'll take us right up to Christmas. I wonder tonight, if I asked you, what are the biggest influences in your life? What you might say. In fact, not so much the biggest influences as in things, but as in people. Who are the biggest influences on your life? Who are the people that you allow to speak into your life, to guide you and help you and give you advice? How helpful are those people? Do they help you to make good choices or bad choices? I want to play you... Oh, where's my clicker gone? Oh, if somebody can find my clicker, that would be... Where? Oh, underneath. There we go. Okay. You like this. Unfortunately, our little laptop is right on the edge of dying, which is why that didn't really work as well as I'd planned. But we've just bought a new computer, and as soon as Joe's got it working, we'll be using it. So, anyway, I wonder that what I was trying to show you. It's a great little cartoon. So you've got a Wile E. Coyote on the end of a bungee cord, okay? And all I was going to say was, I wonder if as a Christian, maybe you feel a bit like that sometimes, that you're being stretched in two directions. That there is something pulling you upwards, trying to, heaven calling you to live better, to live the Christian life, to live as a believer. A bit like the Apostle Paul says in verse 14 of chapter 3, he says, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards. So there's this call, God is calling him heavenwards in Christ Jesus. But at the same time, there's gravity is pulling him down. And there's something that's pulling him down to the ground. And I wonder if you feel that as well, that you're being stretched up heavenwards, but also being dragged downwards as well. Because the Apostle Paul felt that same thing too. And so did these guys in Philippi. And I think every true Christian feels that way at some point. And let's be honest, it is always going to be a bit of a battle this side of heaven, isn't it? It is going to be tough. There is going to be this stretching going on. You feel pulled that way, and yet you feel pulled this way as well sometimes. And it doesn't necessarily get any easier if you were to ask some of the older people in this room who've been treading this path for a long time. I think they would tell you that it doesn't necessarily get any easier to be a Christian, to do the right thing. Battling sin doesn't get any easier the older you get. But we can help ourselves. And one of the ways we can do that is by choosing our friends carefully. And sometimes there are friends who can be a good influence, good choices, help you to do the right thing. And there can be friends who really kind of help you to make bad choices and are a bad influence on you. And I want to go down tonight. Good influences, bad influences. Because that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about in this section. If you were there last Sunday morning, when I was speaking about the little bit before this. I was saying about the Christian life, like running a race, pressing on, straining forward to win the prize, which is Jesus himself. Well, just carrying on that analogy, which is what Paul does here, he's saying it's useful to have someone who runs alongside you sometimes, isn't it? You know, if you're running a race, it's helpful to have someone who's going to be running alongside you, helping you out, chivvying you along, say, come on, you can do this. Come on, you can make it. You'll do it. Because we all need that encouragement, don't we? Look at verse 17. In your Bible, verse 17, chapter 3, Philippians. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. I don't know about you, but in our culture, that's quite a brave thing to say, isn't it? Really. And maybe in any culture, I'm not sure. But to say to someone, just follow my example, do as I do. You know, I'm doing this, I'm going the right way, you guys just need to follow me. That's quite a brave thing to say, isn't it? He does say a little bit earlier, he says, I haven't already obtained all this. So he says, I'm not perfect, but I'm headed in the right direction. So follow me, copy me, do what I'm doing. Keep your eyes on people like me, not me, Apostle Paul, people like us, others who are following hard after Jesus. Watch them, copy them, find some people who are going in the right direction, follow them, do what they do. I wonder tonight, if there was a younger Christian here, if you just, maybe you want to look around the room, you don't have to, but if you just think of someone in the room who might be a younger Christian than you, imagine that they came to you and said, you know, could you help me out here? I want to learn from you, you know. Could you say to someone else here, could you say, look, follow me. I know what I'm doing. I've been doing this a while. Follow me. Go my way. Do what I do. I wonder if you could say that. Or is that just massively arrogant? Well, I want to put it to you tonight that I don't think it's all that weird or arrogant. If you imagine in the workplace, okay, most of us have got jobs, or you have had jobs anyway, you've been doing a job for a few years. Let's say you've been doing a job for a few years and your boss comes to you and says, well, we've got this new employee and they don't know what they're doing. So can you just show them the ropes? Show them what to do? You know, if you've been a postman for 20 years and, you know, you really ought to be able to train someone else, shouldn't you, after 20 years? Something funny, though, because in the Christian world, we don't really see it like that. We so many times I've heard people say, you know, I've been a Christian for 20 years. You know, do you feel you could lead something? Do a Bible study with someone? Could you train someone? Could you disciple someone? Oh, well, no, I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm only just a beginner, really. I don't really know what I'm doing yet. Oh, really? Seriously? After 20 years of following Christ, you've got no idea what you're doing? After 5, 10, 20 years, you've no idea how to live as a Christian. You really can't say, follow my example, after 20 years of being a believer. To me, that's a bit weird. Because if you've been doing a job for 20 years, and your boss asked you to train someone else, and you said, oh, well, I'm just starting, really. I don't really know what I'm doing. You'd get fired on the spot, wouldn't you? Because after 20 years, you really ought to know what you're doing. So maybe it's not that weird for Paul to say, copy me. I know what I'm doing. I've been doing this for a while. In Titus, he says this. He says, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live so that they can then urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure. So setting an example, he's saying, you older ladies, you ought to be setting an example for the younger ones. You ought to be meeting with them on a one-to-one basis, helping them out, showing them how to live, showing them how to live as a Christian. Because it's not easy. There's a lot of things to think about, isn't there? The guys aren't off the hook, though. Because he also says, in everything, set the young men an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity and seriousness and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned. So my first question really tonight is, could you do that? Could you disciple someone? Could you train someone how to live the Christian life? Maybe you couldn't ever do that because you know deep down in your heart that you're not setting a good example. Maybe you know deep down that your actions, and especially your heart, are not really doing what Paul is doing, saying, chase after the Lord Jesus. Maybe you're just a bit spiritually lazy. Do the minimum. You know, pressing on, straining forward toward the goal just sounds like a lot of hard work. You know, if I'm not doing it, it's hard to show someone else how to do that. I'm not trying to condemn anyone here. I don't have anyone in mind in particular. Don't worry. I'm just trying to get us to think. You know, if Paul says this, then why don't we do it so readily? Why do we find it so difficult to do what it is the Apostle Paul is saying? I wonder, practically speaking, what does this look like? How do you do discipleship? How do we do this? What time is it? Let's just throw this open, all right? I don't know if you do this normally, but we can do it tonight. It's okay. So how can we help each other be disciples of Christ? Come on. There's not many of us. We can talk to each other. Come on, let's have some ideas. Throw some ideas out. Mary. One-to-one Bible studies, right. You can just meet up with someone. Let's have a coffee. Let's read some Bible together. Yeah, that's good. Any others? Praying together? Okay. Yeah. That's good. Take an interest in them. Right. Yeah. If someone tells you that they're going to the doctor this week, the next week, say, how did that go? Ask them if they're anxious about it. You know, how are you feeling about it? Can I pray for you this week if you're going to the doctors? Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Any more? Come on, there's loads more. Simon. Okay, yeah, ready to offer. Yeah, sure, yeah, that's good. Yep. Any others? How can we help to disciple each other, train each other? Any other ideas? What things have we got in our church here specifically? Home groups? Yeah. Lots of friendships, yeah. Individual friendships, yeah. Got the after fellowship tonight. Come out. The sausages, I've heard. There's various different Bible study groups, isn't there? Hospitality is a good one. Hospitality is a really good one because very often it can cross age boundaries, can't it? You know, if your kids have left home, get some of these around who have got little kids and, you know, their life's really, really manic and crazy. I'd love to be invited out for a meal. Hospitality. What else? Any others? Mary.
Take a risk and be a friend. Reach out with friendship.
Right, yeah. It is a bit of a risk, isn't it? It is risky. It's not, you know, you sort of set yourself up a little bit for something to go wrong. It's risky. Making friends, yeah, for sure, yeah. But it's all about sharing life together, isn't it? Showing someone else how to live as a Christian, how to show someone else how you bring up your kids. You know, that's risky because they might disagree, but actually they might not have the foggiest idea. And actually, it's really helpful. Someone who's been a Christian for 30 years to show, or 20 years, how they bring up their kids, or you know, if your kids are left home, you know. You know, I've spoken to, there are not many of them here tonight, but I've spoken to a lot of our young parents in the church. A lot of them are really struggling to know how do we bring up our kids. You know, some of you have got a lot of experience in that. Anyway, okay. That'll do for that one. So, good examples. Discipleship, good influences. But there are bad examples too in life, aren't there? Some people are a bad influence. And if heaven is calling, there are also those who will drag you back down to earth as well, aren't there? I might just skip this bit, actually. Let's skip through this. Okay. all that bit it's interesting. This word it uses, if you open your Bible and look at verses 17 and 18. Oh, I might flick onto it very quickly. It says, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Does it say that in your NIV Bible? Yeah, it's the wrong word. It should say walk, okay? Walk. As I've often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. And the problem with translating it as live is that you miss the whole Old Testament context for that statement. Because the Old Testament is shot through with examples of people who walked with God. People who walked in the right way. It's a phrase that's used all the way through the Old Testament. So you get things like, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. Psalm 1:1, okay? Well, then the NIV translators, for some reason, best known for themselves, have put live, which it does mean that, but you lose the whole idea of walking with God, walking in the right way. Anyway, I'll skip past that. Right. So, let's get on to verse 18. So this is verses 18 and 19. So verse 17, he's talking about those who are a good influence on us, those who help us to live the Christian life well, follow us as an example. Verses 18 and 19, he's talking about those who are not going to help you out, those who are going to be a bad influence on you. He says, look at this, look how he feels about them, first of all, okay? Verse 18, I tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. So as Paul's thinking about these people who are all around him, who are a bad influence on him, he's weeping over them. There's compassion there, isn't there? There's sadness there. It's deeply upsetting to the Apostle Paul that there are people who are not walking the same road. Deeply upsetting. I wonder, is this how you feel about your unbelieving friends and family? Do you weep over them? You know, we shouldn't be unmoved. We shouldn't be unmoved because their situation is perilous, isn't it? We should certainly never be envious of what they've got. We shouldn't be unmoved either. Paul says with tears. He's saying, choose your influences, choose your friends very carefully. Because not everyone is walking the same road that you are. Some people will try and pull you down to their level. Some will do it deliberately. Some of your friends at work or your family will try and get you to do stuff which you shouldn't do. You know you shouldn't do. And they see it as a bit of a personal challenge to try and get you to do something that you know you ought not to do. Sometimes it's just a sort of unconscious influence. You know, there's like almost by osmosis that just this negativity seeps in. And he has a list of warnings. He says this is what they're like. He says, first of all, they're enemies of the cross. There you go, verse 18. They're enemies of the cross. So instead of seeing Christ as supremely worthy, many people live or walk as enemies of the cross. What does that mean? What does that mean? Because, you know, ISIS, they're obviously enemies of the cross, aren't they? You know, we don't have any problem with that. But your mate who you live with or you work with, are they an enemy of the cross? Is that what Paul is saying? Well, just think this through, okay? The cross, what does the cross symbolize? The cross symbolizes humility, especially in Philippians. Remember Jesus? Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used to his own advantage, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Jesus made himself nothing. The lowest of the lowest of the low, a crucified slave. So for Jesus, the cross symbolizes humility, making yourself a nobody for the sake of other people, for the benefit of other people. So to be an enemy of the cross is to make yourself number one. So the opposite of lowering yourself and humbling yourself, be an enemy of that is to make you number one, to make yourself the most important thing in your life. Life is all about me. It's all about my desires, my fulfillment, my enjoyment, my happiness. That's what an enemy of the cross is. And we were all once there, weren't we? Romans 5:10 says, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. So in other words, at some point in your life, if you're a believer here tonight, God stepped into your life. You were living opposed to him. You were opposed to his rule. You were walking your own way. But the Holy Spirit came in and opened your eyes and helped you to see and reconciled you to God. It wasn't like you were desperately, maybe you were desperately searching, but it's only because God had already stepped into your life to make you start searching. You were an enemy at one time, like many others. But there's no strength in numbers when you're an enemy of God. So watch out for those who big themselves up. Watch out. I think this is what Paul is saying. Watch out for those who are an enemy of the cross. Watch out for those who, instead of humbling themselves, want to elevate.